Welcome to another episode of PhD BNEM, Beyond the Lab. Today, we'll explore the fascinating world of artificial intelligence and sensory motor control, exploring how diverse research contributes to helping individuals regain essential abilities. I'm Roberto Bonini, a first-year PhD student at the Department of Biomedical and Neuromotor Sciences in Bologna. Alongside three fellow researchers, we'll share our work and its impact on advancing assistive technologies. To start, let me introduce Michele Testa, whose research focuses on the phenomenon of blind sight.
Thank you so much for having me. I could be more excited to kick off this podcast, but let's jump right in. I'm Michele Testa. I'm a third-year PhD student currently working at the Department of Biomedical and Neuromotor Sciences in Bologna, where my research centers on understanding the neural structures involving a fascinating phenomenon called blind sight. Blind sight was first discovered and identified and studied by military officers who were also physicians. It was discovered somewhat by chance, as they observed a strange capacity for visual responsiveness in soldiers who had suffered injuries, often gunshot wounds or trauma, that severely impacted their primary visual cortex, or V1. Despite these injuries, many soldiers reported blindness, yet were still able to detect and respond to certain visual stimuli in ways that surprised their doctors. This paradoxical ability is now known as blind sight. Here is a bit of background on how vision works normally. Light enters through the eyes, reaches the retina, and is converted into electrical signals that travel along the optic nerve. These signals pass through relay stations like the lateral geniculate nucleus, LGN, and superior colliculus, and then reach the primary visual cortex. It's here that visual information is processed into what we consciously perceive as vision. But when the primary visual cortex is damaged due to trauma, lesions, or strokes, individuals are often left with no conscious perception of their surroundings, reporting that they see nothing. Yet, remarkably, these individuals can often still navigate, avoid obstacles, and even reach for objects as if they could see them, sometimes as accurately as a person with full sight. This paradoxical residual vision appears to occur because other visual pathways in the brain take on an auxiliary role. One key pathway bypasses V1 entirely, routing visual information directly from the lateral geniculate nucleus to an area known as middle temporal, which is involved in motion detection. Through the lateral geniculate nucleus middle temporal pathway, individuals with blind sight can still detect certain features of a visual stimulus, such as its direction and speed. Additionally, other areas of the brain, including the superior colliculus and the pulvinar, may contribute to this unconscious processing of visual information, though their exact roles remain an active area of research. My research focuses on better understanding these alternate visual pathways and the mechanisms that make blindness possible. We hope that with this knowledge, we might one day be able to develop technologies such as specialized glasses or visual prosthetics that could enhance or even restore sight for people with blind sight. By implanting arrays of electrodes into the occipital cortex, for instance, it may be possible to stimulate the brain in ways that recreate a more complete visual experience, giving those with blind sight a new level of independence and cognitivity with their surroundings. In neuroscience, virtual reality systems are increasingly used to study blind sight. But to expand on the virtual reality world in advancing sensory motor control, let me hand over to Ziba Ghaffar.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I would like to offer more in-depth knowledge on virtual reality. I'm Ziba Ghaffar, third year PhD student in biomedical and neuromotor sciences. My research focuses on the intersection of virtual reality and machine learning to explore how we can predict human motor intentions, essentially the planning of movement. Virtual reality provides a versatile and immersive platform for studying behavior, allowing us to simulate complex controlled environment while collecting precise eye movement, kinematic and contextual data in real time. This technology bridges the gap between naturalistic interactions and experimental control, enabling deeper insights into human actions. Specifically, I examine how gaze dynamic or pattern of eye movement can reveal insights into a person's intentions and help us anticipate their action in real time. Intention is a powerful, complex concept. It encompasses our goals, needs, and desires, often driving a wide range of future action. Importantly, behavioral signals like eye movement, body posture, facial expression, and even speech can offer accessible non-invasive insights into these intentions. I investigate how gaze patterns specifically, where we look, how long we look, and when we look, can provide insights into movement planning, particularly in tasks like reaching a target. Gaze plays a fundamental role in our interaction with the world. For instance, when we reach for an object, our gaze often anticipates our hand's movement, providing clues about our intention and cognitive processing. By decoding the relationship between gaze direction, fixation duration, and the resulting movement, we can better understand how people formulate and execute plans for action. This exploration not only deepens our knowledge of motor intention, but also sheds light on the cognitive processes behind decision making, revealing how visual and motor system work together in goal-directed tasks. Analyzing gaze pattern can have various implications. Most interestingly, to the Maya, that is a multifunctional, adaptive, and interactive AI system for acting in multiple context projects that is financing my PhD. Applications in the design of assistive technologies that respond more intuitively to users' intentions. For example, gaze-based assistive devices like eye tracking system could be optimized to predict and assist in executing movements based on visual attention. Such innovations could create more intuitive interfaces for people with more impairment, allowing them to interact more effectively with their surroundings and perform daily tasks more independently. All these insights will allow us to define critical properties of gaze that we could eventually use as prior for intention decoding. Ultimately, the more we understand gaze dynamic, the more we can develop system that not only support but also empower users by enhancing their natural movement capabilities. Additionally, these insights offer a pathway to improving real-time feedback systems, potentially refining motor control and performance. Let's now turn to Claudio for more in-depth knowledge on neurofeedback.
Thank you for the nice initiative and for giving me the opportunity to speak. I am Claudio Bianchini, a first-year PhD student recruited at the Department of Biomedical and Neuromotor Sciences and engaged in training as a clinical psychologist at the University Hospital Policlinico Sant'Orsola Malpighi. My research focuses on the improvement of visuomotor control and learning using neurofeedback on healthy individuals. Neurofeedback is a technique that processes brain signals to provide real-time reports on brain activities, allowing individuals to self-regulate their brain activation. This method is already being used to improve hand-eye coordination and fine motor skills. The feedback effectively helps users to modulate brain activity and to improve specific motor and cognitive functions. In order to acquire brain functional data and to give subsequent feedback to the subjects, different modalities can be used. The most commonly used is electroencephalography, or EEG, that measures electrical activity in the brain by placing electrodes on the scalp. It is the easier method for neurofeedback, used to train brainwave patterns, for example, alpha, beta, or theta waves. Another technique is a functional magnetic resonance imaging, or fMRI, although it is not traditionally used for real-time neurofeedback due to its complexity and costs. fMRI can measure brain activity based on blood flow and oxygenation. An analogous acquisition of brain activation can be done with functional near-infrared spectroscopy, or fNIRS, that uses infrared light to measure changes in blood oxygen level in the brain cortex, providing insight into neuronal activity. It is less invasive than functional magnetic resonance imaging, and it was recently used to monitor and train specific cortex regions with neurofeedback. The advantages of these techniques are that EEG has an optional temporal resolution, while fMRI has a better spatial resolution. NIRS can be used for registering during the free-to-move paradigms. The main goal of these projects is to examine the potential of connectivity-based real-time functional imaging neurofeedback for enhancing the individual functional connectivity between the brain region activated during a visual motor task, and to test if this gain in connectivity is associated to an improved visuomotor control. This research progress uses advanced neuroscientific techniques to enhance cognitive and physical abilities, offering relevant application in numerous professional and personal contexts, both for the pursuit of excellence in healthy individuals and rehabilitation in patients suffering from visual or movement disorders. The technologies and methods developed in this field are continually evolving thanks to their integration, making new frontiers in human enhancement possible. The recordings of signals coming from the subject's brain and the following stimulation based on the brain activity itself can be interpreted as a closed-loop brain-computer interface, or BCI, a method that returns a particular stimulation related on what is recorded. This restitution process can be profitably governed by an artificial intelligence algorithms. In this regard, it's a pleasure to hand back the floor to Roberto, whose work aims to integrate different signals acquired with different modalities to create an EA-based system that allows action in different contexts.
Yeah. It's been fascinating listening to my colleagues' insights into different aspects of neural pathways, intention prediction, and neurofeedback. Now, I would like to share how my research brings together some of these concepts through brain-computer interfaces, or BCIs, that leverage the posterior parietal cortex. BCIs serve as a direct communication pathway between the brain and the prosthetic device, bypassing the peripheral nervous system, translating neural signals into precise and seamless movements. The posterior parietal cortex is a region of the brain that serves as a critical hub for integrating sensory information with motor planning. While traditional BCIs often focus on the motor cortex for controlling prosthetics, our approach explores the unique advantages of the PPC. What makes this interesting is its role in high-level planning of movements, especially for reaching and grasping actions, while still maintaining the information of the actual movements of the arm. Our research takes a multi-signals approach to neural decoding. Think of this as creating a symphony of different information streams. We start with neural signals, but then integrate these with other valuable data sources, such as eye movements or other biological signals. Moreover, PPC helps us understand the broader context of a person's intention. We are not just decoding variables for moving a robotic arm. We are able to interpret high-level, goal-oriented information. This means we can understand what object a person wants to reach or how they intend to grasp it. Imagine a prosthetic device that doesn't just move where you tell it to, but understands your intention and helps you achieve them in the most natural way possible. For instance, if you're reaching for a coffee cup, the system wouldn't just move your prosthetic arm to the cup's location. It would understand that you want to drink from it and automatically adjust the grip and approach angle to make that action as natural as possible. In addition to controlling movement, these systems have the potential to integrate sensory feedback, creating a bidirectional interface. This would allow users to not only control the prosthetic, but also receive tactile or proprioceptive sensations, making the device feel more like a natural limb. Such developments build promises for the future of neuroprosthetics, paving the way for more responsive, adaptive, and user-centered devices. Translating neural activity into actionable commands for controlling robotic prosthetics is achieved through machine learning and deep learning algorithms. These algorithms identify complex correlations within neural signals across both temporal and spatial domains. In the temporal domain, they analyze the evolution of neural activity over time, while in the spatial domain, they assess the connectivity between recorded brain regions. This approach enables the development of brain-machine interfaces that facilitate intuitive and precise control of prosthetic devices. It's important to note that our research is currently being conducted offline, which means the neural decoding happens after data is collected rather than in real time. However, our goal is to advance to a real-time closed-loop system. In this setting, patients would receive immediate feedback on the actions performed, allowing them to actively learn and adapt to the system. By modulating their neural activity to adjust for any errors, users would be able to refine their control over the prosthetic, gradually achieving smoother and more intuitive movements. Now, after introducing all our research, we move to a question answering. Claudio, could you please explain in more detail how connectivity-based real-time functional imaging neurofeedback works and how it enhances visuomotor control?
Visuomotor control provides the integration of visual information with motor actions, allowing for coordinated movement in response to visual stimuli. This process relies on brain areas that interact through specific neural circuits. The major neural circuit involved is the visuomotor circuit, composed by the parietal, premotor, and motor pathway. Connectivity-based neurofeedback can target these brain regions by modulating the connection between them, promoting neuroplasticity, and therefore improving the subject performance. Ziba, Your research focuses on gaze dynamics in virtual reality environments. How do you see this system combining with neurofeedback to enhance motor function and rehabilitation outcomes?
Thank you for asking this question. Neurofeedback approach integrates virtual environments with real-time feedback. This combination allows for immersive, controlled setting where participants can practice and receive immediate feedback on their brain activity during visuomotor tasks. Such a setup not only enhances the learning process, but also reinforces specific neural pathways, promoting stronger connectivity and better motor outcomes. This bridge between virtual reality and neurofeedback represents a promising frontier in neuroscience, where technology and brain training converge to improve motor functions and sport rehabilitation. Hi Michele, you mentioned that virtual reality systems are being used to study blind sight. Could you please elaborate on how they contribute to this research?
Virtual reality systems are increasingly used to simulate real-world environments, providing a controlled setting that can be used to study blind sight. For individuals with blind sight, VR, virtual reality, can enable researchers to observe how they navigate and interact with visual stimuli without conscious perception, testing the role of alternate pathways. This technology can also aid in developing potential rehabilitative solutions, such as training for future vision-restoring implants. Roberto, considering your focus on the posterior parietal cortex, how does its role in high-level planning impact the performance of BCIs compared to motor cortex-based systems?
Using the posterior parietal cortex can sometimes result in lower performance compared to the motor cortex when decoding commands for directly controlling prosthetics. To address this challenge, we employ a multi-signal approach that aims to match the performance of motor cortex-based systems while leveraging the posterior parietal cortex advantages of decoding high-level goal-oriented information. This goal-oriented insight can be used with smart robotics to enable more intuitive and adaptable prosthetic control, aligning actions with the user's intention. The journey ahead is still long, but the integration of these various approaches brings us closer to creating truly intuitive and capable assistive technologies that can transform lives. And with that, we wrap up today's episode. Thank you for joining us on this journey. Stay tuned for more episodes of PhDBNM, Beyond the Lab. Until next time.